Turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter number 11. We're going to come back to Romans chapter 4, but go toward the end of the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 11. And the title of my sermon this morning is Growing in Faith. Growing in Faith. Increasing your faith. You see, faith is what gets us saved in the first place. Of course, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But even after salvation, the Christian life is a life of faith. Now, let's start out by defining what faith is. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 11, this is what's known in the Bible as the faith chapter. And it starts out right at the beginning in verse 1 there by saying, "Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Jump down to verse number 6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So we can see from this scripture that faith is believing in something that we cannot see. Faith is the evidence of things that are not seen. And he that cometh to God, the Bible says, must believe that he is. Because no man hath seen God at any time, the Bible says. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. But when Jesus Christ preached forth the word of God, most people did not believe him. And to this day, most people do not believe the word of God. Faith is when we believe God's word and we believe in that which we cannot see. That's what faith is. It's the evidence of things not seen. Another great definition of the word faith that we would find in the Bible would be trusting. Because if we look at Ephesians 1:13, you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians 1:13, the word trust is used synonymously with believe or faith. It talks about trusting in Christ as believing in Christ. So God tells us the truth in his word, and we have to fully trust that what he says is the truth. We have to believe that what he says is the truth. That is what faith means. We walk by faith, the Bible says, and not by sight. Okay. Now, first of all, faith is what saves us. We're saved by faith. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So let's start out in chapter 11 here. The first several examples kind of tie in with just that basic faith of just believing in God and then believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, fully trusting in him to get us to heaven. That's kind of just a basic beginner faith that, you know, that's just the prerequisite for getting saved right there. But then we need to grow in faith beyond that. Okay, look if you would at verse number 1 of Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So that's just the basic faith of understanding that God created this world. It did not come from nothing. The Bible says in verse 4, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." So the next example given of faith is Abel. Now this scripture here in Hebrews 11, it's basically starting out at the beginning of Genesis and going through Genesis and giving us examples of faith into Exodus. So that's why he starts out with creation and then he moves on to the next thing, which is Abel. And he talks about how by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Well, what's that about? Back in that story, if you remember, Cain brought an offering unto the Lord of fruits and vegetables, the fruit of the earth. He was a farmer. He was a man who made things grow from the ground. And so he brought all of his labors and his works, and he presented those to God, and God did not accept his offering. Whereas his brother Abel brought of the firstlings of the flock, which is a blood sacrifice, an animal sacrifice, and God was pleased with that offering because of the fact that that Lamb of God would take away the sin of the world, Jesus Christ. That was being foreshadowed in the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament. So it's the blood of the Lamb that brings salvation, not our own works or our own produce. And that's what Cain and Abel, that's what that story is really all about. And so that demonstrated his faith in the Lord when he put his trust in God's word and brought the offering that he was told to bring of the blood of the lamb versus his own works or his own deeds. Look at the next example. It says in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. This goes back to a story in Genesis chapter 5. Cain and Abel's found in Genesis 4. Well, in Genesis chapter 5, the Bible gives us this short story about a man named Enoch who walked with God, and the Bible says that he was not, for God took him. Basically, this is a man who did not die, but he went straight to heaven without experiencing physical death. Well, what that pictures is twofold, really. Number one, it pictures salvation, because by believing on Jesus Christ, we're saved from death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And so just as Enoch did not see physical death, we will not see spiritual death because we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was by faith, the Bible says, that Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. So by faith, Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. And he was basically a foreshadowing of a second thing, which is the rapture, okay? The Bible talks about in the New Testament that we shall not all sleep. Sleep meaning physical death. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. But the Bible also tells us that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the trump of God, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So the Bible is telling us there that there will be some people who never experience physical death. If you're a saved believer, when Jesus Christ returns someday, that could happen in our lifetime, or maybe that will happen beyond our lifetime. But those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will be like Enoch in the sense that they will not see physical death. They will be changed in a moment, and they'll be caught up together to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Look at verse number 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared his ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is yet another example, the story of Noah from chapters 6, 7, 8, 9 in the book of Genesis. And in that story, Noah ends up surviving the flood, and the ark pictures Jesus Christ. The ark only has one door. Jesus said, I'm the door. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so the ark and that door represents salvation through Jesus Christ. So what I'm trying to show you is that verses 1 through 7 of Hebrews chapter 11 are really focusing on a basic kind of faith, dealing with the type of faith that we need just to be saved, right? Just believing that God exists, believing in that blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, believing that God's wrath one day will come upon us, just like the flood came upon the people in the days of Noah, and that if we trust in Jesus and enter through that door, we'll be saved. Just like Enoch, we will not experience the second death and we'll be saved. And of course, if we happen to be living in the time of Christ's second coming, we'll be exactly like Enoch in the sense that we won't even experience physical death. So that's the type of faith that we see in verses 1 through 7. Just a basic trusting in God's word and being saved. But I'm preaching this morning to a group of people, 90-some percent are saved. I mean, if I just ask right now, who here knows for sure that you're saved? Put up your hand if you know for sure you're saved. So, I mean, that's what we're looking at here, a group of people who already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're in church this morning, and that's why they're even here. But the thing that we need to emphasize this morning is growing in our faith. Okay, and the Bible doesn't just give salvation type imagery or salvation type pictures in this chapter, but he gives other examples of people who didn't just believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior or call upon the name of the Lord to be saved, but they took their faith to another level and they lived lives of faith over the course of years and decades. So what does that look like in our lives today? Well, look at verse number 8, and we sort of enter a different phase in this chapter. It says in chapter 11, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with them of the same promise. Now, obviously, this is going beyond just salvation. This is going beyond just believing on the Lord, trusting Him as our Savior. This is where God actually asked Abraham to do something that's difficult, something that's life-changing, and something that he doesn't even fully understand, and he had to decide whether he's going to believe the promises of God, whether he's going to step out in faith and do what God told him to do or not. And this is the type of faith that we need to have in our Christian lives going forward, even after we're saved. Not just believing in Christ one time, being saved, and then just living a life of leaning on our own understanding and doing our own thing, but rather a life where we continually hear from God and act upon what we hear from God and actually obey the voice of God in our lives to do great works for God like Abraham. Obviously, we're not saved by our works, but God does want us to do great works for Him, and He does want to use us in a mighty way, and He is constantly speaking to us through the Bible and giving us directives of things that we need to do in our lives, and we need to obey the voice of God through this book, through the Holy Spirit, and step out in faith and do things that are hard because God told us to. He went out into a place that he should after receive for an inheritance. But the Bible says he went out knowing not where he went. He didn't know whither he went. That's pretty hard to pick up and move and take your family and to just go somewhere. And God just said, go into a land that I'll show you. So he didn't give him a map and say, okay, this is exactly where you're going to be. These are the borders. This is where you're going to live. No, no, no. You're going to go and I'm just going to show you when you get there. I mean, that's walking by faith. He had to just fully trust God that God was not going to lead him astray. And then when he gets there, there's other people already living there. And so he has to live there as a stranger. So at first it sounds really good, like, oh yeah, I'm going to give you this land for an inheritance. But then he gets there, there's all kinds of other people living there. And he sojourns among them and he lives in tents. He doesn't have a city with walls and foundations and everything like that. No, no, no. He's living in a tent with his son and his grandson. And God did not give him the inheritance in his lifetime. You know, in his whole lifetime, he's just trusting God that his descendants are someday going to possess this land and inherit this land. And God tells him, by the way, it's going to be about 400 years from now. God told Abraham that in his lifetime. He said, you know, 430 years from now. What in the world? But he believed that. He trusted God. He did as he was told. He obeyed. Why? Because for Abraham, it wasn't about just the physical inheritance that he was going to get right there, because he didn't even see that in his lifetime. Look what the Bible says in verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Tabernacles are tents. The heirs with them of the same promise. Watch this. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Jump down to verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Look at verse 16. Now they desire a better country, that is, unheavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So Abraham, he got his city, a celestial city. See, Abraham wasn't so carnal as to think, oh, it's just all about how much physical land I can possess in my lifetime and how many cities I can be over. No, no, he wanted to obey God by faith, trust in him, and he ended up receiving great rewards in heaven for his faith. And he also became known as the father of faith. And he became known as the one that we all look to, even in the New Testament. The Bible said in Romans 4, he's the father of us all that believe by faith. He's a great example given unto us of a man who walked by faith and not by sight. And of course, God blessed him in his lifetime, and he got to do great things and see great things. But in general, he was living by faith, not by sight. He wasn't seeing it all come to fruition in his lifetime. The Bible says that the gospel was preached before unto Abraham, and God explained to Abraham that in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. And how are all nations of the earth blessed through Abraham? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who came of that seed of Abraham. He was begotten of Abraham after the flesh. And so Abraham got to hear all that and understand all that and participate in that and got to be a great man of God in his lifetime and to be revered for thousands of years thereafter because he lived his life by faith. You say, okay, what does that have to do with us in our lifetime? Well, because God sometimes asks us to do things that are difficult. And I'm not talking about God coming to you in an audible voice, but I'm talking about the things that the Bible tells us to do that might be hard. But God gave us the example of Abraham to show us how we can do those things by faith, by believing and trusting that God has our best interests at heart and that God's going to take care of us and lead us and guide us along the way. You know, one of the things that God tells us to do is to go to church. Amen. To go to church. And a lot of people, they don't go to church because it's too far. You know, maybe they have to drive 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour. And they just say, oh man, it's just too far. I'm just going to stay home and just watch it online. But wait a minute. God did not say, you know, forsake not the live stream. He said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Not less church, more assembling together, more church. And you say, well, it's just too far. It's too difficult. But how far did Abraham have to go? He had to go to a foreign country in a day and age when there's no communication. He can't go and on Travelocity and book everything. And he can't just be, you know, video Skyping with his family. No, when he left his hometown, he's never coming back. He's never seeing those people again. And he doesn't even know where he's going. He doesn't even know where to leave the forwarding address. That's faith. And so you think you can go to church? I mean, think about that. And some people say, well, there's no good church in my area. Well, first of all, no church is going to be perfect anyway. And so what I always have taught and what I've always practiced in my life is you find the best church in your area. You find the best church in your area, and you there are certain things you don't compromise on. You don't compromise on the King James Bible. You don't compromise on salvation by faith. You know, those are just things that have to be there. And if they're wrong on salvation, or if they're wrong on the Bible, and they're using one of these Bible of the Month Club new versions, you know, those are deal breakers. Okay. But if they got the right Bible and the right salvation, and if possible, the third thing that I would really strive to find is one that is doing some kind of soul winning, some kind of an evangelism. You know, those are kind of the three main things that I would look for. And if they're wrong on other things, if they have other problems, okay, you know, you can still go there. They're still saved. They're still serving God. You can still love them. You can still get plugged into that church and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, you don't have to go in there guns a-blazing and telling them they're wrong about everything. Just get in there. You know, sit down, shut up, be a blessing, make friends, you know, be an asset to that church. Don't go in there and try to, you know, change it all around and turn everything around, you know, because of the fact that obviously the pastor is the leader in that church and you need to respect that. But my point being that people need to get in church. And if it's truly an area where there's just no church that's even right on salvation or even has the King James Bible, then you need to move to another area. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, what did Abraham have to do? He had to move to another area. Now, I understand that there are people who listen to my sermons in foreign countries, and I understand that's a different story because of the fact that in some foreign countries, there really is no church to go to in certain countries. And moving to another, you know, you can't just always move to another country. That doesn't necessarily even work. But I'm talking primarily to people who live in the United States of America, you that are sitting here today. Some of you I know drove from far or flew in today, or some of you, maybe today you live here, and 5 years from now you might move somewhere. You know, you might get transferred or live somewhere else. You need to remember this preaching that, hey, going to church is a command of God.
Right.
It's essential. And if you have to drive 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, you make the drive.
Amen.
Why? Because it's a priority. It's important. Why? Because God should come first in our life. And if we're really living a life that's by faith, then we know that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things that we need will be added unto us. And so, you know, people all the time, they'll move for a good job and think nothing of it. Or they'll move to go to college. Or they'll even move to go to a Bible college. Well, you know, sometimes people might just have to move to find a good church to go to. And there's nothing in the world wrong with that. In fact, it's quite biblical. And so we see here the faith of Abraham, that he went out into a place without knowing where he was going, but yet he just followed God's directive, and God blessed him greatly. One of the things that Abraham really wanted in his life was he really wanted to have a son, and he really wanted to have children. And God told him, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And just decades go by, and his wife is barren, and he's not having a child. But eventually, finally, God came through when he was literally 100 years old, and his wife is 90 years old. God performs this miracle where they actually have a child at that age, which is very strange, and everyone laughed about it at the time and couldn't even believe that such a thing could even happen. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So that goes to show you that God doesn't always just immediately do everything for you right then and there. I mean, it's not like the TV preachers where, you send in $100 and God's going to send you $1,000 and put your hand on the screen and all this stuff. Look, true Christianity, you don't see the results right away. That's why it requires faith. What does faith mean? Believing in something that you don't see. So that means you obey God, you obey God, you obey God, you obey God. You don't see any results. You don't see it, but you just keep obeying, and you just know God's going to bless me. I'm doing the right thing. Why? Well, how do you know you're doing it right? Because I'm doing it the way God said to do it. That's how I know. Yeah, but, you know, things are going rough in your life. Well, the Bible talks about how Christians are going to go through trials and tribulations and hard times. That should be no surprise.
Right.
You know you're doing it right when you're obeying the Word of God, but that takes great faith. See, if we just did good things and were immediately rewarded, and did bad things and were immediately punished, that wouldn't really require any faith. Then we could just rely on science, the scientific method, right? You know, oh, I did an experiment. You know, I went to church and God blessed me. And you know, forget science. Okay, the Bible does not say that Abraham by science went out to receive an inheritance. The Bible doesn't say through science we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. No science could ever tell you where this world came from.
Right.
The Big Bang is not science. Evolution is not science. Creation is not science. The book of Genesis is not science. That's all history, if anything, or philosophy or religion. It's not science, okay? Science is that which we can see and observe now. And we can experiment and duplicate and replicate and so forth. Science is another subject, okay? But this is not a science class. This is a Baptist church. And when we come to church, we're not talking about the scientific method here of, hey, just put some money in the plate and just watch and see what happens. Wait a minute, that's not faith, okay? Faith is where we don't see results for anything that we do necessarily, but we just keep doing them anyway because the Bible said to do it.
Amen.
And we keep on going, we keep on going. You know, when I first started this church, 11 and a half years ago, I was working really hard and I was striving to be biblical in my methods and biblical in my preaching. But honestly, I saw very little results for the first few years. And the thought enters your mind of, well, maybe I'm doing it wrong. Maybe I need to change. Maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm just mixed up or something. But I just kept going back to the Bible and saying, no, this is what the Bible says. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. And you know what? Eventually now I can see the fruit of it, you know, 11 and a half years later. But 11 and a half years ago, I didn't know that. When I was 6 months in, 1 year in, 2 years in, 3 years in, and you're struggling and not seeing a lot of great results, it's faith that keeps you moving forward. But see, a lot of pastors, they'll start a church and then they'll quit after 6 months or a year, 2 years, 5 years, because they didn't get the instant results. Well, it just never really took off. It didn't really get off the ground. Well, if it's not off the ground, you just got to keep going, keep going, keep. You know, when you go out to start a church, it shouldn't just be you're trying it or testing it. I mean, you got to be do or die about things like that. It's a serious matter starting a church, and so you don't want to play games with that. And so Abraham, he didn't say, well, let's test it out in Canaan. He just went there and he was all in. Now, was Abraham perfect? No. If we actually read the story in great detail in Genesis, there were a lot of times when Abraham had lapses in faith and made mistakes. And he goes down into Egypt, or he lied to the Philistines about his wife and said it was his sister because he thought that because she was so beautiful that they might kill him to try to take his wife. So there are times in Genesis where he did lapse in faith. And then, of course, there's the whole situation with Hagar and Ishmael, which represented a big lapse in faith where his wife talked him into doing that outside of the will of God and just trying to find a carnal way for Abraham to have children instead of following God's plan and waiting by faith and so forth. So did Abraham have some points along the way where he staggered in faith? Absolutely. He was supposed to leave his father's house, but he ends up bringing his father for the first leg of the journey, if you read it carefully in Genesis 11, 12, and 13. So Abraham wasn't perfect, and you and I aren't perfect. There are going to be times when we have lapses in faith and make mistakes and commit sin or where we even make big bad decisions of getting out of church or quitting soul winning or we're not reading our Bibles or whatever. But in general, we need to be going from faith to faith and increasing our faith.
Amen.
So, you know, we're saved, but we need to now grow in faith. We need to increase our faith. How do we increase our faith? By exercising our faith. Why? Because the Bible talks, go over if you would to Romans chapter 5, because we're going to go to Romans 4 anyway. So go to Romans chapter 5. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Romans chapter 5, it says, therefore being justified by faith, that's talking about our salvation, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That, you know, that can be said of everybody here who knows for sure that you're going to heaven, who's truly saved. Obviously, only God can see the hearts. There's probably a few Judas Iscariots out there. But the Bible is saying here that, you know, if you're saved today, if you have fully trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've been justified by faith. You have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But then we move on. Verses 1 and 2 are great for salvation, but let's move on to verse 3. Not only so, not just saved by faith, but it says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Bible's talking about after we're saved, not just that, but then through the Christian life, through the trials and tribulations and experiences that we go through, we have our faith tested and built. And the Bible talks about how tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So as we go through tribulations and we learn to patiently endure them, then we start having experience under our belt of having trusted God in the past, and God has seen us through and gotten us to the point where we are now, and then that gives us more faith for the future. So the way that you increase your faith is by exercising your faith. Exercising your faith. So when Abraham went out and did what God told him to do, that built his faith. Because when he got there, everything was okay. God took care of him. God blessed. And then he takes the next step and the next step. And over the course of Abraham's life, you'll see him growing in faith and having less doubt and making less mistakes. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4, where it talks about the faith of Abraham. It says in verse number 18, speaking of Abraham, it said, who against hope believed in hope. So what it's saying is that even though it didn't make sense from an earthly standpoint, he still believed God's word. He still trusted that God was right. Even though humanly speaking, it didn't make any sense, he's getting old, and the Bible says that of his wife, it had ceased to be with her after the manner of women, meaning she's past the childbearing age. So humanly speaking, it made no sense. But yet against hope, he believed in hope. It didn't make any sense, humanly speaking, to leave Ur of the Chaldees where he has everything going for him and to just go to some place where he doesn't even know what he's going to find. And then to get there and he doesn't even own the place. Look down, if you would, verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Now, when did he have the lapse in faith? Well, he had the lapse in faith when he's about, 86 years old or so, right? But by the time he's 100 years old, he believed God when he told him, according to the time of life, at this time next year, Sarah's going to have a son. And it says, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. What's he saying there? He's got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel, right? He's 100 years old. He considers not his own body now dead when he's about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The Bible said that when he's 100 years, look, he didn't even consider that. He just said, you know what? If God's telling me that in 1 year, Sarah's going to have a baby, I believe that. It's going to happen. That's a lot of faith. When humanly speaking, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. But yet, he believed that. It said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. What does it mean to stagger, right? To stagger would be, for example, we'd probably think of a drunk person, right? And they kind of go this way, and then they kind of go this way, and then they kind of, go this way, right? So it's staggering. And if I said to someone who was setting up place settings, for example, or chairs or tables, and I said, hey, stagger these, what would it mean to stagger them? One on this side, one on this side, one on this side, one. They'd be staggered. It's a zigzagging type of a pattern. That's staggering. And a person who's drunk, they stagger, right? Well, the Bible says that Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief. Like, you know what? I think I'm going to serve God. Well, I don't know. I'm not really sure. Well, yeah, actually, I think I'm going to do that. Well, I don't know. See what I'm saying? He basically decided that what God said is the truth. He's going to follow it. He's going to obey it. And that's where he's going to find the blessing. And he stayed on that course. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And then, of course, the next verse is the one we already read. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what the Bible's saying is just when you get saved, believing on Jesus Christ is that you are persuaded that what he's promised, he's able also to perform, meaning that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again, and that he's the only way to heaven, and that he'll save you. And if you just call upon him, you'll be saved. I mean, just believing in that salvation, that's faith. But then later in our lives, there are plenty of other times when we need to exercise faith and grow in faith and increase our faith to bigger things. I mean, how much faith does it really take to just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and to just fully trust Christ as your Savior? It really doesn't take a lot of faith. It doesn't take a huge amount of faith to be saved. It just says even just the faith of a little child will save you. I mean, even Jesus said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could remove mountains. So obviously it takes a lot less than that just to get into heaven, just to be saved. So it doesn't take a huge amount of faith to be saved. But as we go through our Christian life, God has bigger challenges for us and other things that he tells us to do that are hard things, that are difficult things that are risky, in a sense. And so therefore, we have to increase our faith. We have to grow in faith, and we have to be ready to obey the Lord. Now, here's one thing that I want to caution you on, though. A lot of people will dream up things out of their own heart and their own imagination and say, oh, I'm doing this by faith. Now, let's stop and talk about that for a second. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you just go out and do something that you dreamed up of your own heart or your own imagination, oh, I'm doing this by faith. No, you're not. Not unless you can point me to where God told you to do that. Because faith, in regard to trusting the Lord and the kind of faith we're talking about this morning, biblical faith is when we get a directive from God and we obey it and we follow it. So if there's no directive from God, then you're not exercising faith in God's word because you don't have anything in God's word that told you to do that. You know, so people can dream up weird ideas and just say, oh, well, you know, God told me to do this. Well, chapter and verse, buddy.
Right.
Well, I just felt it. Well, but that could have just been your imagination too.
Right.
So we need to prove all things and make sure that we're following the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And a lot of people's imagination to them just substitutes for the word of God. You'll show them clear scripture. Hey, here's what God wants you to do, X, Y, and Z. And they say, well, but, you know, I just feel like God wants me to do this, so I'm just going to do it by faith. No. By faith is when you do what the Bible told you to do.
Right.
That's by faith. You know, for example, and, you know, here's just one example. Some people would say, oh, you know, I have an injury or a sickness or an illness, and I'm just not going to go to the doctor by faith. You know, by faith, I'm just going to not go to the doctor and just pray for healing from God. But here's the thing about that. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible does not teach to skip medical treatment. That's not a, you know, you can't show in the Bible where it says, hey, don't ever use medical treatment. Jesus said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Meaning that they that are sick do need a physician.
Yeah.
And throughout the Bible, we see examples of remedies and medicines and the leaves of the tree and so forth, you know, the herbs and medicines being used. And even Luke is known as the beloved physician in the Bible. So he's traveling with the Apostle Paul and everything like that. So, and he was used greatly of God to pen down the Gospel of Luke and also the book of Acts. There's nothing wrong. He didn't have to stop being a physician like Matthew had to stop being a publican, right? Stop being a tax collector. But he didn't have to stop being a physician. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it is wrong for us to seek after the physician and ignore the Lord, not pray. Obviously, if we're sick, we're supposed to pray and trust the Lord and ask for healing. But we don't have Jesus physically on this earth just touching people and they're immediately healed. We don't have the apostles, Peter, James, and John, or the apostle Paul walking on this earth just casting their shadow on someone and they're healed. So to sit there and say, well, I'm just trusting God by not getting medicine, or I'm trusting God by, no, because God didn't tell you to do that. So that's not trusting God. That's just making a silly decision at that point, a foolish decision. Especially if someone's parents said to them, hey, you need to go seek medical treatment, you know, their authority in their life, and they're like, no, I'm trusting God. No, trusting God would be to obey your parents. Think about that. I mean, that's what God actually said, to obey your parents. And so a lot of times people will do things, quote unquote, by faith, but they're not really following scriptural directives. Or for example, just, well, you know what? I'm not going to get a job. I'm just going to trust God to provide all my needs. No, because God said, 6 days shalt thou labor.
That's right.
So if God's telling you to go to work, but God says he's going to provide all my needs. Yeah, when you work. So you go to work, and then God provides your needs. Not just, oh, I'm just trusting God to provide my needs. I'm just going to quit my job, and I'm just going to trust God to provide. But that's not what God has laid out as his plan for your life in the Bible. So when we say step out in faith, I'm not telling you dream up crazy ideas, dream up wild things that you consider spiritual, and just jump in, buddy, with both feet, and God's going to say, hey, I like that faith. I love that recklessness, that reckless abandon. Oh, you're going to die without treatment? Yeah, go for it, buddy. Love that faith. Or, hey, oh, yeah, quit your job and just go out soul winning and never go to work. Love it. No, God isn't impressed by that. Because to obey is better than sacrifice.
That's right.
It's better to actually do what God told you to do. Now, there are plenty of things that God tells us to do. Mm-hmm. Quit worrying so much about the stuff you don't know and worry about what you do know.
Yeah.
Because you say, well, yeah, but God didn't tell me what city to live in. God didn't tell me who to marry. But he did tell you to marry someone who's saved. He did tell you to be equally yoked. He does tell us that we want to be a companion of a wise person and not a companion of a fool. So he gives us guidelines. And then he allows us to choose our spouse. He gives us guidelines, and then he allows us to choose what city we live in. Don't live in Sodom, amen?
Amen.
You know, that's Las Vegas, by the way. Don't live in a very wicked, godless place where you can't even, you know, walk outside without just constantly vexing your righteous soul from day to day with wickedness. But he didn't tell you you have to live in Phoenix or Los Angeles or Albuquerque or El Paso. You know, it's up to you. But you got to follow what God has told you to do. And he told you to go to church.
Amen.
So that means don't move somewhere where there's no church unless you're willing to drive to church. Now, I know people. In fact, I was just, dealing with a situation recently with someone that I know who basically, because of work, and because of a family situation, needed to move to an area where there's no good church there. But here's the thing. This person said, you know what? We're willing to drive the 1 hour to the church that is there. And we're committed. We will be there. We will go there. And they said, we're going to be there, every Sunday. We're going to drive to church. We're even going to make the midweek services and everything. So, that there's nothing wrong with that. But to sit there and say, oh, well, I'm just going to move out to this place and there's no good church anywhere around. Well, you know what? That's not God's will for your life then, because God is not going to get you out of church when God commanded you to be in church. What did God command you to do? God commands us to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. He commands us to go out and win the lost to Christ. Well, you know what? When we go out there, even though we're shy, even though we're timid, even though maybe we're a little awkward and not good at meeting people, when we go out there and do soul winning anyway, that's faith. That's stepping out in faith. That's doing something hard, right? getting out there and overcoming the shyness and the awkwardness and the quietness and getting out there and proclaiming the gospel. Why? Because God told you to do it and then you did it. That's faith. If God told you to go to church and you went to church, that's faith. Whether you had to drive 5 minutes or whether you had to drive 45 minutes because you're in a rural area or whatever. Look, it's by faith that we obey God's word and we don't stagger at the promise of God. What's the promise of God? That if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the other things will be added unto you.
Right.
He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Do you believe that? Well, if you do believe that, your life will show it. If you actually are growing in faith and you make that your motto right there, Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God, you know what? Then that means that in your life, that's going to play out in the things of God having a priority in your life. That means that when you wake up in the morning and you seek first the kingdom of God, you know what that looks like? That looks like reaching for your Bible instead of reaching for the Wall Street Journal, right? And to look at your investments. You know, I'd rather check my investments right here in the King James Journal right here and figure out how my portfolio looks. I don't want to, you know, what does that look like? It means you wake up and you don't turn on some brainless ditz on TV or radio, talk show or whatever, just blathering about things that don't matter. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You don't just roll out of bed and the first thing you want to know is, you know, what's the news with Trump? What's the news with the Democrats and the Republicans? And, you know, what's the news in Congress? No. You don't go to C-SPAN. You go straight to the Bible and seek first the kingdom of God. What does it look like to seek first the kingdom of God? It means you wake up in the morning and your first thought is on the Lord. Your first thought is on the Word of God, on Jesus Christ. Your first song that you start to sing is a hymn of praise unto God. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it takes faith to do that because you don't always get an instant gratification or an instant result. But you live your life that way, not by the day or by the week, but by the decade. Christianity is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you read this book and you pray unto the Lord. You get on your knees in your closet, you shut the door, and you pray unto your Father, which is in heaven in secret. Why? Because he said that if you do, he'll reward you openly. But what's the guarantee that that's really going to happen? Well, this is the guarantee. Where's the evidence? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And so getting on your knees and praying, you say, well, I don't have time to pray. I need to spend that time doing housework. Says the busy housewife or the busy mother of children. I don't have time to read the Bible. I got to get food on the table. I got to clean this house. I got to put a diaper on the baby. I got to do that. But here's the thing. The housewife or the mother that has faith is going to carve out that time. They're going to carve out that Bible time, carve out that prayer time, carve out that soul winning time. Even though they say, well, I can barely even get things done without that stuff in my schedule. But you know what? You put that stuff in your schedule and you know what God's going to do? He's going to stretch the rest of your time. How do you know that? Because your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of all those things. Your Heavenly Father knows that the baby needs a diaper. The Heavenly Father knows that food has to be on the table. He knows that the house needs to be clean. He knows that a mother's work is never done. He knows how busy you are. And if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all those things will be added unto you. Well, I didn't see that. You know, wait, it's by faith. Believe it. Believe it. And if you do it and you go through some tribulations, patience will work experience and experience will work hope. And you'll start to see, you know what? As I obey the Lord, God is taking care of me. God is blessing me. I do have more joy in my life and I am getting things done and I am accomplishing things for him. And you've got to have the faith to do. So what's the whole sermon about? It's about doing what God told you to do, not things that you dreamed up. Abraham just didn't just dream up one day, you know, I just feel like God wants me to move my family to another city. God actually came to him and told him that. Now, we in the New Testament are not in a time when God's communicating with us in that way. And there were even huge amounts of times in the Old Testament where God didn't communicate with man in that way. There were hundreds of year periods throughout the Old Testament where God was not audibly speaking to man, and God was not bringing any new revelations to them, and they were just reading the word that they had and preaching the word that they had. But today, we have a more sure word of prophecy than Abraham had. We can trust this book right here. And so this is even more information than Abraham had. We don't even have to go out into a country not even knowing where we go, because we have so much information with the Bible. I mean, you don't think Abraham would have loved to have this book in the tent and pull this thing out every morning and read it? I mean, we know how everything ends. We've got the book of Revelation. I mean, we don't need as much faith as Abraham needed. Abraham needed a lot of faith. But you know what? We need to increase our faith. We need to grow in faith. And we need to challenge ourselves in our lives. Challenge ourselves not to just get complacent or stagnant or just comfortable in our Christian life where we're just relaxing in Ur of the Chaldees. We know we're saved. We know we're going to heaven. We go to church on Sunday morning. You know, we're doing the minimum. We read the Bible occasionally. No, we need to challenge ourselves and say, you know what? I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to push myself, maybe even take a risk and put myself out there and preach the gospel to that loved one or go out and knock that door or go on that missions trip or whatever it is. Hey, you know, I'm going to take that big, giant leap of faith and come back on Sunday night. That 6:30 service, you know, I'm going to come to that 7 o'clock Wednesday night. You know, it's almost laughable, but you know what? God will reward those who diligently seek him,
right.
Who diligently seek him. Now, getting saved is a one-time deal, born again. No diligence required in that sense, because it's a one-time, just like a baby's born into this world to its human parents. But diligence is required in order to grow in faith and to keep on doing what God tells you to do. And whatever that is in your life that you need to challenge yourself, maybe it's to get a certain sin out of your life, because some people, they don't have the faith to realize that they could actually live without that sin. They just think, well, I could never quit smoking. Could never quit drinking. It's just a crutch. I've always had this crutch, and I need my crutch, and don't try to get me to stop. But you know what? Actually, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the Bible does teach that God can give us the victory and help us to overcome temptation. And so we need to, you know, maybe challenge ourselves to get rid of a sin that's been a stronghold in our lives, or challenge ourselves to increase our service for the Lord in some way. Maybe challenge ourselves to do a daily Bible reading, daily prayer, getting out soul winning every week, going out on a missions trip. Maybe it's as a young man, it's learning how to preach, so that you can be used of God as a preacher in your life. I mean, all kinds of different examples come to mind of doing what God told you to do. Now, maybe it's something really hard like moving, or maybe it's something as simple as just, you know, carving out that time to read your Bible, whatever it is. But God desires faith on our part. And so we need to get a hold of some of the promises of God. The one that I highlighted this morning is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, get that directive from God to seek first the kingdom of God. Now put it into practice in your life. Start doing it by faith. You say, okay, so when should I expect results? A week? No, it doesn't matter. The results aren't, you just do it.
Amen.
You do it by faith, and then you take the next step of faith and the next step of faith. And every time you read something in the Bible and God tells you to do something, you do it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all the the trials and tribulations that we've already been through in our lives, where we've seen that you were faithful and took care of us and blessed us. And we thank you for the examples of men like Abraham and Moses and David, Lord. Help us to be great men and women of faith today, Lord, and not to just stop at salvation and say, well, I had the faith to get saved. Well, that's great, but Lord, help us to also increase our faith and grow in faith, Lord. And I pray that you speak to the hearts of every single person who's here, that they would have scriptures come to their mind that would tell them what it is that they need to do and what it is that they need to challenge themselves to be more faithful in, Lord. And I just pray that this message would sink down into all the ears of those that are here. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.